Meeting to order at 6:02. Roll call.
Chairman Rosenblum.
Here.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams.
Here.
Secretary Scheifele.
Here.
Director Woods.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Thank you. Public input. Okay. Mr. Secretary.
The November minutes were posted on the website. There have not been any changes. I make a motion to approve the November 16, 2016 minutes.
Second motion.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Treasurer's report. On the packet is the financial statements. Starting on page 16, which is the comparison to actual to budget. For November, fuel flowage fees was up by $1,100. Tie down parking was down about $1,600. So pretty much total income right on target for the month. Our personnel costs were about $1,200 under budget. We had some building and grounds maintenance during the month of $3,600, which exceeded the budget for the month. But otherwise, everything else came in under budget. The total operating expenses were budgeted for $39,000, came in at $35,000. The net income for the month was about $4,000, which was $4,300 better than had anticipated. And we have a year-to-date surplus of $31,641. That's before any CIP expenses. And netting the city contributions. When you take that into account, we have a shortfall of about $26,000. I make a motion to accept the financial report pending audit.
I'll second.
Discussion. All in favor?
One question said that the, and I may have the wrong budget here, probably do, but you said that the total operating expenses were budgeted at $39,000 and change, and the one I have is $44,765. I wondered why the $6,000 difference.
The budget that we have in front of us says $39,625.
Okay, I just have apparently an earlier budget.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Next item is communications.
We have two communications, 16016 and 16017, both on the subject of grooming of the runway. One is from Mr. John Clark, the other one is from Chris Robinson, and I believe both spoke to those last month. Do you want me to read these? They're quite lengthy. Do you want me to read these?
No. We have it in our packet.
Do we? Do they?
They should be in there.
Okay, they're in my packet.
Keep going, Mr. Chair. Keep going in your packet there farther back.
21 and 22. And both communications support the grooving project.
Okay. Anything else?
The second one isn't signed. Just an email?
They're both emails, yeah.
Okay.
These were sent just prior to the last Airport Authority meeting, but they were outside of the time frame for communication, so they were included in this month's agenda.
Yeah, I saw the first one, but I spoke to Chris out.
And I guess we can discuss it down below in old business under the roofing thing. That's where you want to do it. We, if there's any discussion on it, we can go down here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The next item is a tower report. That was in the packet. The traffic for the month was up 422 counts over 2015. And year to date, we're at 49,709.
No, that was 15.
That was
15.
54,000. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. It was 54,894 compared to 2015. It was 49,709.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So that's a 10% increase over last year. Airport manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wildlife activity on the airport has been light with no reported strikes. We've met with the tree removal contractor and a member of the Conservation Commission for the removal of trees on Sharon Ave, which will allow the VOR 3-2 approach to be utilized at night. The trees are scheduled to be removed by the end of this year. Secretary Scheifel and I met with Provost Triant Floris of Hellenic American University. Mr. Floris reported that the college has been approved by the state of New Hampshire as well as NEASC, which is their accrediting agency, to relocate from Manchester to Nashua. They're interested in starting a flight program as part of their curriculum and are seeking support from the NAA, which Secretary Scheifel offered full support of the board for whatever they need. Eric will speak to the pavement rehabilitation project and the airport master plan update projects were both approved by Governor and Council on Wednesday, December 7th. I was privileged to speak to a class of high school students in the Virtual Skies program at New Hampshire Aviation Historical Society about careers in airport management, and I'll be doing the same this Thursday over at the Academy of Science and Design. We have an abutting property owner that's requested that their zoning be changed from airport industrial to highway business, and there is a special hearing on December 20th. I don't know if you wanted to speak to that at all. Or
can we have more details on that?
Yeah, in speaking with Roger Houston in planning, airport industrial allows structures up to a height of 45 feet, whereas highway business will allow structures up to 65 feet and five stories. In looking at the, so this property is directly under the transitional surface of the airport. So you have a primary surface which is centered on the center line, and then off to both sides you have what's called the transitional surface. It goes up a slope of 7-1. At the edge of their property, they could have a building up to 69.5 feet tall without penetrating into that transitional surface. So it looks like the limits that are imposed by the city as far as height requirements would mitigate any hazard that we might have as far as height. The only other concern might be compatible land uses. The biggest incompatible land use would be allowing some kind of a business over there that's noise sensitive, so a church or a library or maybe a hospital. I believe the planning board is looking for some either approval or I shouldn't say approval. They're looking for some feedback from us as to whether or not we agree with this change from airport industrial to highway business. So, I mean, in my opinion, I think so long as we put some limitations on the change, and again, limiting any noise-sensitive types of businesses in there. I would say, I would recommend that the Airport Authority be in favor of this change.
Where is it, Steve?
It's directly, it's on Amherst Street. It's directly adjacent to the runway 14 end. There's a couple of L-shaped buildings there right on Amherst Street. It's 472 Amherst Street is the address.
So it's not an existing business. It's looking. It's just a property they want to rezone to
correct.
Get different businesses?
Yeah. Yeah, they have an adult daycare in there now. I'm not exactly sure why they want to rezone, but
good question.
It could be.
Does this require FAA and or New Hampshire DOT approval?
Neither. No. Either we can, either the Airport Authority can, approve's not the right word. You can contest the request. It doesn't mean the Planning Board will honor that, but you can either let them know you concur with the change or you object to it. I'm happy to put together a letter if you want to take a if you want to work on a letter to the Planning Board. Outlining what I just talked about.
I don't think we should be commenting on whether or not it's wise for them to put a business in there noise related. That's their business, and if they want to move it in there and it's a church, that's their call. We should not be, it's an airport. Airports have noise, and if they're not smart enough to figure that out.
Well, the FAA does expect the airport to do their due diligence and do their best part to make sure that adjacent land uses are compatible with the airport. So the FAA is kind of expecting the airport to do everything we can to make sure that the use of the land next to us is a compatible land use.
Has the property owner given any indication of what they want to do with it?
Again, from what I've heard from Director Houston, there's an adult daycare in there. You know, I don't think there's really any significant impacts now, but if that business were to go away or if they were to tear down that building 10, 20 years from now, then there could be some impacts.
I think
from an airport perspective, to consider having a five-story building on an adjacent to the airport off the runway center line should be a concern to us.
Hmm.
Did they say that's what they want to do? They
no.
Okay.
No, there's
so
no indication.
No, that's what they want to do.
There's no indication that they want to build any other buildings there. There's a building there already. That's just the future implication of the change in the zoning.
Didn't you mention, though, that today, if nothing changed, what could they do to help? How high could they build today?
Up to 45 feet.
So we're talking about a 20, 25-foot
zone. Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's pretty clear we don't know what we don't know.
We spent a ton of money clearing trees that were over 50 feet, and this might be out of the area, but zoning is by nature meant to protect certain districts from each other. This airport's surrounded. I haven't seen the map, so I can't say for sure, but you probably ought to ask for it and review the entire map before you make a decision on this. Because if your entire boundary is zoned airport industrial to a certain distance, say off the runway, then allowing one property to encroach it upon that is crazy. They might, even though you don't think the guy doesn't have any plan to build over 45 feet, by approving this and getting it rezoned, anytime down the road in the future, they can build to 65 feet. So this has been restricted way back, a long time ago, for future planning. I wouldn't change it unless, or I'd actually go fight for it and suggest that the city not change it unless it's the last little airport industrial out there and everything around it is already zoned commercial.
Andy, did you have something?
I have a very similar comment to that. I think what would be more advantageous to the airport is that you do not change the zoning per se, but rather give them a change order, if you will, allow them to do something. If they want something specific, that you will entertain allowing them to do that. But once you change it from an airport zone to a commercial zone, you're opening up all sorts of other possibilities that you just don't know what they might be down the road. As an airport, designated as part of the airport, there's FAA considerations and so forth. Down the road, who knows what happens? What if they suddenly say, what if the city says, well, 65 feet, make it 85 feet. What difference does it make? And then you've got to go back and fight it and whatever. But if it's still an airport, they're stuck with that. It's still airport zoning. They're still stuck with the 45 feet unless you permit them to go a little higher. And that's not a problem at that juncture. But why give them the opportunity to do it on their own and come back to the board?
Thank you. Shane?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Shane McLaughlin, for the record. I'd like to echo or associate myself with Dennis's comments, Dennis Stevens, as well as Andy Nyans, and comment also on Director Scheifel's comment. The noise issue is something that I think is equally as concerning, and I would say that we as an airport should be working to preserve the zoning that's there to protect us. I think that's really important, and it's important to recognize that historically and elsewhere in the country, when zoning has changed, for example, Santa Monica Airport is a prime example, when zoning changes are permitted, if you can develop an encroachment on the airport operational area that could result in inhibiting operations over time. The noise issue, once you allow a change in zoning, for example, the church example, what happens, unfortunately, I mean, your point's very well taken, Bob, but in the eyes of the law, the courts don't take the same approach. And someone could come in and, let's say, maybe a church may not be what goes in there, but maybe it is an adult daycare, a young children's daycare center someday. And they could make the argument, listen, the airplane noise is becoming a problem for us. Then they could raise the argument. That might be 10 or 15 years downstream, but we'd have to contend with it then. Whereas airport industrial, we wouldn't have to contend with it now. Thank you.
Wes?
It's zoned highway, airport industrial now.
Correct.
What is the difference in permitted uses between airport industrial and highway industrial?
I'd like to know that before you
then,
a
whole bunch of this discussion really is moot. If airport industrial allows a church to be put in there, then you're already there. So if you're just arguing about the height of the building, then it's not desirable that the area around the airport be a little more hazardous to low instrument approaches and crappy weather or whatever. But that might be the only argument you have.
When did this request go in or come in or whatever?
Oh, I got a call last week.
They want us to respond by December 20th?
Yeah, they do.
I'd like to know more information. Maybe you could get us, email and name and number, and we can maybe each on our own.
I think there's two things, right? What to Dennis's point, what's the zoning look like today?
Mm-hmm.
Is it solid airport industrial? If it is, if we open that door and we crack a little hole in there for commercial or whatever that other zoning category is, does that start spurring on other people in the area because there's some advantage to doing that? So all of a sudden we start to degrade what we consider a friendly zoning category that we want to keep, probably. I'm sure, but probably. So, I think just to weigh in on an opinion at this point is probably.
So, are we supposed to make a decision as a board by December 20th? We don't have another meeting.
Well, they're looking for input, input at that meeting, right?
Either that or a letter indicating.
And we can't really give a letter until we know what the heck's going on.
7 days.
This reads that they're going to make a decision on the 20th of December.
It's a special hearing. I don't know if there's going to be any decisions made or not.
So are we,
Absent some intelligent information, we've got 7 days to make a decision or say we have to plot. We say no, pending further.
Story of my life, yeah.
Pending proper information.
I think right now it's no.
Someone want to make a motion?
make a motion at this point in the juncture as 12:13 that the answer is no. The airport
based on the fact that we don't have enough information.
We're not prepared, you know.
That could change in the future, but as of today, it's
pending,
no,
pending
additional information and research and all that goes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Carol. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would like to have Steve get a set of information so we can, you know, figure things out and maybe help them out in the future or give them a reason why we're saying.
Yeah, can we do a letter to that? I mean, essentially that's what that letter would say without being too overbearing, I guess, right?
Yeah. I can work on a letter with one of the board members if that's satisfactory.
That'll be you.
So the motion was to indicate to the planning and economic development.
We're not in favor of changing the zoning at this point with the information we currently have.
Okay.
Dennis has a comment.
Dennis?
If I can make a suggestion, and Shane, jump right in. Always had a rule whenever I was developing property, and that is building permit, I handle. Planning, I handle. Zoning, legal always handles zoning. It's very important to go through the proper channels. I would recommend that you push it straight to your attorney and have your attorney respond to it.
Do you have a comment, Sam?
Well, I'll probably close down a little bit for the holidays.
Yeah, it's probably done,
so. I think we have a time crunch here, and the ball is in their court. And it's no until they provide information that allows us to make an intelligent decision.
Right. Now, there's nothing that stops them from just saying, yeah, it's nice. Yes, right? I mean,
right.
Right. So yeah. I agree with Bob. Yeah.
Okay. Please continue.
Secretary Scheifele and I are still exploring options for a directory sign at the entrance to the airport. And lastly, we've been approached by the Danny Webster Council of the Boy Scouts, in cooperation with the local emergency planning committee here in the city. They're looking for a spot to host a campery, and they were looking at the grass field off of India Ramp on May 5 through 7. Met with representatives toward the ground off of India Ramp, which could be an ideal location. They would anticipate 200 to 225 scouts and 75 scout leaders. So they're looking for a weekend spot to camp.
And you said they need like 200 and something parking spots, right?
Well, if you figure 1.5 people per car, it's probably 150 cars or so. Yeah.
And where are you proposing?
I think there's plenty of parking along Perimeter Road, north of Infinity, north of Gate 13. There's also a dirt road inside the airport that runs up and along the fence line where they could park on both sides of that. I don't think vehicle parking would be an issue for them.
Okay.
I've asked them to, at a minimum, you know, if this is approved by the board, submit to us a safety plan to make sure that campers and airplanes don't mix. They're willing to provide us with certificates of insurance for the city and naming the city and the National Airport Authority as additional insured. I reached out to our insurance carrier to see if there's anything else we might need, and I spoke to Risk Assessment today to ask them if there's anything they would require.
They're going to be having campfires?
They would like to, yeah. They have an elevated pit, I guess you could call it, that they could have their campfire in without torching the place.
Do you need
approval from this board?
I suppose so, yeah. Either that or if there's any discussion that I can bring back to them. And, you know, this is May, so, you know, the indication I got from them is they were happy that somebody wasn't saying no up to this point. Because
they've looked at other places.
Everywhere they've gone, they've been told, no, you can't do that here.
Why are they told no?
I don't know.
Did they say what?
They didn't say. That's the first question I ask is, why the airport?
It's New Hampshire, there's tons of just woods and stuff. And
well,
I think it's the size of their
things out there. Yeah. As a former 10-year-old Boy and veteran scout myself, I can attest to the fact that you could do this anywhere.
Maybe it's the size of their group. I'm not sure.
It is a large 200 kids. I mean, that's a jamboree type size, mini jamboree, not really a camperee. That's a couple troops worth, I think.
I think I'd ask why everyone else said no.
Yeah.
To see if it's relevant.
Because why?
See if it's relevant.
Yeah, find out why people said no. Yeah. What about kind of matching them up with, you know, all right, camping out here, anybody want to go for a free airplane ride? Or?
I suggested that. I'm sure there's some tenants on the airport that would be happy to bring airplanes down and have the kids check them out.
Do they have an agenda yet, do you know? Do they have?
I think it's a pretty standard weekend that they have set up. Yeah, they do want to do some like search and rescue type stuff, certain stuff.
Maybe with CIP.
I was going to say get the Civil Air Patrol involved.
They're supposed to be involved. Yeah.
Did you tell them I'd give them pancake mix?
I did not tell them that yet. No.
Each are waiting pancakes.
Can you seat 300?
Yes, please.
Boy Scouts are extremely risk averse, so that they. Showing how the airplanes would be a great thing, but I'm sure that they would say no to rides. And working with Young Eagles in the past, their insurance requirements and whatnot are just non-starters. So typically the way it works is they don't come as Boy Scouts. They just come as civilians. They take Young Eagle rides and they get credit from Air Canada for that. But I've spoken with some Scout leaders and they just can't do that under the umbrella.
I can think of a dozen questions I'd like to ask the leadership of the group. Why don't we ask them to come here in February or January and let us ask directly, how are you going to control kids for 3 days going in and out of the gates, and how are we going to keep them off? You know, not that they're going to do anything wrong, but you know, it's their kids.
Yeah, port-a-johns, all that kind of logistics stuff.
Yeah, they plan on having 8 port-a-johns in the list that they have here.
I think that's an excellent idea to have them.
Sure.
Ask them to come.
Yeah. January.
Andy.
Yeah. To look at this whole thing from a totally different direction, can the airport get any benefit out of it in the sense that they'll go around and pick up any trash in the airport? Or
odd mayor badge. I like it.
Paint the runway or something.
They can get the Director Farrell gives them the hammerhead stall on mayor badge.
Child labor. Right?
Yeah, Cuban 8 mayor badge. Show them how to run the crack seal machine. You know?
Okay.
All right, so they're going to come in
June.
You're going to ask them if they can come in.
All right, so you please invite them to our either January or February meeting.
Certainly.
I'd just like to elaborate on 2 points here. Our conversations with the Hellenic American University, in my opinion, were extremely positive. They are very, 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 very interested in coming back to Nashua Airport. They will have their first class at Nashua Community College on the 1st of February. All of that's been approved. The gentleman, Mr. Flotus, I believe, was the dean here at Daniel Webster College, is chomping at the bit to buy this property to make it their university, and are very, very interested in reestablishing the flight program. In addition, we're going to piggyback on their good graces to begin discussion with National Community College to relocate their aviation maintenance programs from their existing campus to the airport. And there's an element of favorability in that respect that they would like to do that, or at least are interested in talking about it. The other point is with respect to the signs, I have to tell you I'm very, very disappointed in the response that we got from 2 sign companies. We're going to have to go back to the drawing board and come up with something different. The prices are outrageous, and what they proposed to us was ridiculous. So we'll go back and start over again.
Thank you.
Since you brought it up, I don't see anything under old business about the bankruptcy over there. I don't know whether you intend to speak to that or not.
You want to talk about our party with the bankruptcy?
I have no information. Do you have any information?
Steve has information, right? As far as the bankruptcy part.
We've been communicating with SNHU. They've agreed to pick up the leases through December, but I have not had any information or any progress with the lawyer that I've reached out to as far as the bankruptcy. At this point, we would be seeking damages in the hundreds of dollars, and the legal fees would probably be in the thousands of dollars.
What was it, a month and a half of rent?
SNHU picked up almost all of that, right, Mary Beth, except
all
for...
in December. And then they're only going to take the hang-up. They're going to take the hang-up, that's it.
Right.
Yeah, June. So after that, they'll still be using our stuff and not paying for it, right?
No, they'll be paying for the hangar.
Through June,
and they'll pay for the two green spaces through the end of this month.
Will they be using any of the spaces that they're not paying for after they stop paying?
The aviation center, the lease agreement that we had with ITT was a dollar a year, so they've assumed that agreement, I guess. We don't have any other agreement in place for that building.
That was my question.
Not going to shut down the control tower, right?
So I guess the answer is no, they won't be. Okay. They won't be.
Did you want to report on the snow removal operations?
It's been going well. We haven't had any complaints, unless anybody wants to complain right now. They're welcome to. We have a complaint. Shocking.
Good. Okay. I can talk to you about it.
Thank you. Airport engineer.
Good evening, Eric Fran, Gale Associates for the record. With me tonight, I have Matt Caron. As you all know, some of you know Matt, some of you don't, but Matt is our planner, our lead planner at Gale Associates, and whereas we have, as Steve alluded to, have received funding for your master plan project, Matt's going to start being a staple there for you guys for the next year and a half, probably, if not more.
Yeah, probably.
So, with that being said, I'm going to hand over to Matt to go through the master plan and start talking about the initiatives that we're going to do.
Thanks, Eric. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the authority. As Eric said, I do see some familiar faces here and some new faces. I think first thing I'll just say is this master plan is a long time in the making. We started scoping this thing probably September of 2015. And as Steve said, we just got the official letter on December 7th giving us authorization to move forward and start expending money and start working on the plan. So I'm pretty excited and I hope you guys are as well. I've got some of the guys already in the office working on some existing facility stuff. I know they've reached out to Steve. They've been reaching out to NHDOT to start compiling a lot of the information that already exists to kind of save on costs. When we started scoping this thing, like I said, over a year ago, one of the concepts that was brought up was that there would be a master plan committee, essentially a subset of some individuals from the authority, airport manager, Gale Associates, I think some others within the city of Nashua as well were discussed. At this point, I haven't heard any feedback as to what the authority's intent is on putting together a master plan committee. I spoke with Steve a little bit earlier this evening. He had a good idea of maybe coupling it with another group that already exists.
Strategic planning committee.
Yeah, so right now myself, Chairman Rosenbaum, and our aldermanic liaison, Alderman Schoenemann, who's not here tonight, had our first meeting right after we did our chili walkthrough the other day.
Okay.
So we've started that group and started sort of penciling out some ideas and things that, you know, some strategic type stuff. I've already reached out to Steve for some information. So we got the wheels churning on that.
Good.
For sure. So
that might be a good opportunity to couple it and make it both that committee and the master plan committee. I'm not here to tell you which direction to go in. I guess I'm seeking some input to see, you know, which direction you guys would like to go in, the number of people you want on this committee. I'm open to suggestions, open to ideas, and looking to get that mobilized sooner rather than later, because as this starts to pick up, we're going to need some information sharing. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is ultimately we'll always come back to the authority, so it won't be something that the MPC is making decisions on behalf of the authority, but it'll bridge the gap in between monthly meetings to get some decisions made, get some direction provided, and then we'll come back and update the full authority. So So not necessarily looking for a decision tonight, but maybe over the next week or so, maybe touch base with Steve or myself and just say, hey, we think this might be what we're looking to do. And
I can think back to them after if you want. We can fix to have them attend at least initially.
True.
Okay. Yeah, we've already kind of chalked out a monthly just to keep ourselves on track. So
yep.
I'll hook up the afternoon.
Okay.
Just swap info.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
So that's all I have for the master plan update. All right.
Are we looking to get feedback from members of the community too?
Yeah, initially we're kind of wading through a lot of the historical stuff and just trying to chart our path here a little bit first.
I'm going to go back to the other projects. The other two projects are engineering related, so I'll take them over. First, project number two, pavement reconstruction and maintenance. As you all know, last Thursday we met at the cold on the pavement, walked the project with everyone. We talked about the alternatives. Gail has provided four alternatives at the request of the board. And we are seeking a decision on how the board would like to proceed with this project moving forward. As Steve and Matt also said, we did receive funds for this project initially through governing council process last Wednesday, the 7th. So this project is good to go, shovel ready. We just need to get concurrence from the board as to which direction we'd like to go with in terms of the runoff apron and the adjacent areas.
Can you briefly walk us through the four alternatives?
I sure can. Included in your packet, there was a cost estimate which outlines the four alternatives. Alternative number one, which is figure number one, this is as proposed or as bid, if you will. So this is the one that we are looking to would be awarded if we follow the contract as it is right now. Effectively, this alternative is to remove the existing pavement down along the fence and along the runoff apron, and to put in some minor drainage improvements down in that area to alleviate some of the issues and not put back tie downs. That was the original direction that the board chose to go in, so that's what we put in. Additionally, New Hampshire DOT, as part of the bid, did not have the funds to fund the additive alternate, which was to pave that area. Option number two was to, similar to option one, was to remove the pavement, minor grading improvements down there to promote positive drainage in the area, and as well as to install four turf tie downs. Alternative three was to pave the area. This was the additive alternate, and effectively reconstruct the entire piece of pavement down there. Again, the catch on this one is that this was not awarded, and there's not funds within the grant unless we do some modifications to the project to offset it. And number four was the do nothing. Effectively pave the areas that were included in the project, leave the existing pavement down there in question, and save it for a future date. If you look back at the alternatives breakdown in terms of cost, you'll see that obviously option number one, there's no additional cost incurred to the project because it's as granted to the airport through New Hampshire DOT and the FAA. Alternative two, there's about $12,500 of additional cost. We're comfortable in communications with New Hampshire DOT that this could be borne in the project through underruns and construction due to some contingencies built in through quantities and stuff of that nature. It's pretty common. Alternative three, this was the additive alternate. It's $140,600 of an increased cost, which is not in the grant and is high probability not going to be able to be funded. It would require a supplemental grant amendment, and it's contingent upon the availability of funding. And whereas discretionary funds in the region are very tight, it's a very low probability of receiving them. So there is risk and exposure to the airport and the board.
What page
are all those numbers on there? Sorry.
It's on the first page.
Yeah.
It's
41
of
the
packet.
41?
Yeah.
Slow me down
from
going too fast.
No, I was keeping right up. No, I wasn't keeping up at all.
And alternative four, just to close out the cost, has a cost savings of $93,000 for the project.
So the do-nothing has a cost savings of $93,000.
Correct.
To the project. And that's just not money we can put aside and use. We could maybe use it in a different way.
FAA and New Hampshire DOT are going to be hard-pressed to reallocate it to something that's not included in the project. If we were going to maintain a similar scope and do a change order on that mechanism, we probably would be successful with that. But FAA right now is using a word called outside of scope and therefore not funding things that are outside of it. So it's not even being entertained. You know, a couple of years ago you could say, okay, we have some underruns, what else can we do? Now they're looking to recapture money because they have a lot of stuff that's falling, you know, they have a lot of stuff that they're trying to
so, but that area down there was inside the scope, it just wasn't awarded.
It was
so that
the
was
scope
inside
of the design, it's not the scope of this project that they funded.
What was the airport's portion of the total project?
5% of the total cost, so...
So
$82,250.
So the overall savings from the grant is still a savings to the airport?
Correct. 5% of the $92,000.
Okay. And I had asked Nick, I'm sorry, is it Mike? I'm just asking these questions. I had asked Nick at the meeting because in my mind, you know, there's some pavement, and it was nice to do that walk around. Thank you for coming out. But, you know, clearly some of it is really scary just to look at. You know, and where those tie bounds are is pretty scary, if you ask me. And I had asked Nick for an overlay of what the DOT said must do, should do, can do later, you know, don't have to do. But I don't have that anywhere. Matt said 2012, he thinks was the last time that was looked at, and some of those numbers clearly are not quite right at this time.
As part of the master plan, we do a pavement analysis or pavement history. We started looking at that tangentially to this. Back in 2012, the New Hampshire DOT did a pavement study at all the airports in New Hampshire. Nashua was done at the time, and then what they did was, I believe it was Jacobs? I forget who the consultant was who did it. Was it Jacobs?
I
believe it was Jacobs who did the pavement analysis. And they assessed all the pavements on the airport, and they produced a plan that has PCI, pavement condition index numbers, for all the pavements. There's no written report other than just this is what it was, this is what it is, and there's no summation of what needs to be done.
So when you guys were coming up with this plan for replacing this pavement, how did you choose what to
do? A lot of the pavements on there, obviously, as we saw the other day, are failed. They are some of the oldest pavements on the airport. And also we used the 2012 assessment of the PCIs that were done by another consultant in New Hampshire DOT and found that a lot of these pavements were beyond their useful life and needed some sort of maintenance or reconstruction.
So how come we don't have that still? I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard for me to make a decision on things if we don't know.
You don't have it because it wasn't in any scope. There was no scope for us to do that. We've looked at these areas as part of this project, and this was an area that was identified for reconstruction along with several other pieces on the airfield, the inner taxiway, some of the pavements in between hangars, and things of that nature, but there's been no scope to look at which pieces need to be done.
So as far as DOT's concerned, you know, when Dennis was talking the other day about that end being a useless piece of property, you know, how do they know it's a useless piece of property? I'm just confused about what's good, what's not good, you know, what, you know, why aren't we putting all the money to the worst parts and skipping all the parts in between that may not be as bad?
We can't do everything at once. I think, and Dennis will allude to this, probably, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we sat down with the CIP about 2 years ago, we started to recognize that, one, AIP litigation change, legislation change, and that now you can do pavement maintenance as part of your CIP. Previously, before that, you could not take federal dollars to do maintenance work. Maintenance was on the airport, and your grant assurances said that you would do that. You would do the crack sealing, you would do the crack repair, you would do slurry sealing or pavement rejuvenators or whatever the nature was that you wanted to do. In 2012 timeframe, they changed that and said that you cannot do maintenance. So as part of your CIP, we started looking at, you know, a lot of your infrastructure is failing in terms of your payments, and it's pretty obvious. There's significant cracking. Some are worse than others. Some areas, quite frankly, breach the eligibility because they're near revenue-generating facilities like hangars and fuel farms and other avenues that aren't eligible for discretionary funds because they're so low on the totem pole in terms of ratings. So we started looking at areas, you know, in terms of FAA, highest rating is runway, taxiway, aprons, taxi lanes and things of that nature are so low rating that you're probably never going to receive discretionary funds. So what we did was we started to look at the payments that were eligible and high probability of getting funded, like taxiways and stuff like that in and around the 3-2 runup apron and stuff like that that were eligible. And what we did was we started to say, okay, look, we need to start programming. And when I say we, I mean the board, made the decision at the time to put in about $1 million worth of maintenance in order to start building down the road in terms of reconstructing and maintaining the infrastructure that you have in the airfield. There was three areas that were identified. There was kind of like the 3-2 end, kind of areas off of the main apron, in taxi lanes, inner taxiway, and then stuff working down towards the 1-4. Everything was outside of aprons and taxiways. Additionally, in your CIP, if you look at it, there's reconstruction of some of your aprons further out. I started attaching a copy of your CIP so you can see a little bit more, show you the big picture. You know, you do have a lot of failing pavements, a lot of significant cracking and issues. That's kind of why the decision was made, if I could, you know, recall it as a board meeting decision. Dennis, would you add anything to that?
If I can.
Dennis and then Wes.
This asphalt job has been in development for a couple years, okay, and it's evolved strategy wise and what we can perform wise. And the first is the strategy. The strategy was just simply the first question we asked ourselves is how much asphalt can we do and how often should we do it? And so asphalt generally has a life of 20 to 25 years. So you take our entire airport and you just take the cost of replacing the asphalt or condition it, divide it by, okay, how often do we want to do an asphalt program? Because we have other capital expenditures to worry about too. So we figured, okay, if we threw money at it every 4 years, how much should we spend every year? And we came up with a figure, I forget totally what it is, but it's called $500,000. Well, so that's what we went for initially. We went for a scope of $500,000. Now, above all else, the number one important item this airport needs to maintain asphalt-wise are the ramps, other than the taxiway, which is brand, well, I mean, the runway, which is brand new. The taxiways, okay? Taxiway Alpha and all the ones that getting around, that's where the heavy aircraft are running. And so that's what we actually started with, okay? We started scoping that out, how much can we do here? But then after learning, getting more and more involved in this, you learn more every time you get involved in it. The airport, the entire FAA has a list of priorities, okay? And we get a 63%, which is higher than anything else, correct me if I'm wrong, rating for maintaining asphalt. And then we're getting a lot of comments back from the user saying, hey, what about the asphalt from my hangar? You know, and some offers from, hey, you replace the asphalt in between our hangars, would do 10 feet out, which is our responsibility. Well, the thing is, it's hard to throw those things in there, but we decided that if we called it a taxiway, okay, in between the hangars, then it qualified for the 63% rating. Which, by the way, there's hardly a single project in New Hampshire that is getting any money that's higher than a 63% rating. And that's why we're getting money. So we applied for it initially. We got our approvals for about $470,000. And we said, that's so easy. Let's do it again. And then we doubled it, okay? And that's why we're sitting here with the appropriation we have, pretty much re-asphalting everything on the south side of the airport.
Dennis, do you think there's some stuff in here. Do you think there's some little bits and pieces that you could have left out, towards the end of, like, say, where the hangars are, digging that stuff up? You know, are there places you could have left out that aren't in as much need as, you know, maybe down at the other end?
You talking about the northern end?
Yeah, where's Steve Blue?
We focus on the southern end area.
That's the southeast end.
The southeast end, okay, on the 3-2 end, okay, mm-hmm. of the airport. Because the India ramp's new, it's on the north side. We didn't really see any damage up there. We knew we had to get the ramps done, okay, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. ramps. The main taxiways done on the 3-2 side, mm-hmm. okay? So why not hit all the hangars and the areas in front of the hangars, because that's going alongside of it. Now, if we just went out there and we tried to get asphalt for in front of all the jet hangars on the 3-2 side, that wouldn't get approved. But if we go in with a classification replacing all the taxiways, okay, and by the way, we can't really replace the taxiways. We're going to damage the 10 feet in front of all the hangars, too. There's no way we can avoid that. We'll have a patch that's going to create a rut for a future tire. You know, so we just got the whole thing through in. The DOT agreed with us. So what we're doing pretty much is resurfacing the entire 3-2 side of the airport, okay? And we've focused on that. But even so, everything we wanted to do, our prices came in, budgets were high. The DOT is saying, you got to cut it. We're in the $1 million range. Now, we wouldn't be having a discussion now if we only went in for $500,000, got $500,000. We'd be doing such a limited scope. We wouldn't even be doing the T-hangers right now, okay, because we'd only be doing the main taxiways. And so with all this, so it's evolved. And the thing is, it's not, you're talking about the list that was developed in 2012. Throw out that list. It's old. Most of this airport has changed since then. And the bottom line is that you need to have this discussion every 4 or 5 years and continue to go in for asphalt, to continue to have a replacement program. And you'll never have to worry about the condition of the asphalt because you'll be replacing it when it's barely cracking and degenerating and has a short life.
Thank you, Dennis. Wes?
So, Dennis has provided like a lot of good information, none of which has to do with what's in front of the board. You have a project. The suggestion is that you should leave alone an income-producing section of that asphalt that a small business at the airport is happy to live with and include that work in the next project. You'll save, I heard, what, $80,000 on this project, $93,000 on this project.
82 is ours, though.
No, 5% of the 93 is yours.
Right.
$4,500.
But yeah. It's not just yours. It comes out of my income taxes.
Sure.
So it's not free. And you don't have to replace it tomorrow. Doesn't look good, but they're driving, to it and from it. I don't hear that their maintenance bill is any higher than mine. The asphalt in front of my hangar was installed in 1984. It was outside its supposed useful life 20 years ago. But it's still good enough for the airplanes that we fly. And my point is, the asphalt we're talking about by the brick hangar is not going to completely disintegrate in the next 2 years before you can get to the next project and replace it. So I urge the board to respect a successful little business on the airport, to save our $90,000 and select for option 4 and go forward with the project you've got.
Thank you. Farrell.
Okay, so with Wes's comments as a segue in that discussion, I would like to make a motion.
Please do.
Very good. So the motion is to instruct our engineers to not tear up, that piece of ramp adjacent to the fence, and brick hangar. In other words, I think this is what they outlined in option 4.
The leave it alone option?
No, the leave it alone option. Do not, the motion is to go with option 4 and not tear up that chunk of pavement.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second that motion.
I have some discussion.
All right. Discussion, Sandy and then Dennis.
So, I know leaving it alone, if we choose to leave it alone, there will be additional costs later on. we put it back in another time because it'll be included?
It's a high probability the cost of construction will be more, and it will limit other projects potentially because of the cost of it. It's about 140 now. It will obviously probably cost more because payments will go up. It's petroleum products, so it usually goes up, doesn't it?
So that'll be an additional cost that I know. And we don't know really what shape that pavement is in because we don't have any numbers for any of that. That's all. I mean, we really don't know what shape it's in.
Dennis and then Shane.
We absolutely do know the condition of that pavement. It's I'll condemn it, and I'll put my New Hampshire professional engineer stamp on it. It's old, it's very thick. The only thing that's keeping it from crumbling is this thickness. It's excessively thick, but the cracks in it are getting wider and wider every year. And if I can tell you, if my nose wheel goes in a crack and I strike a prop, I'm going to be suing this airport. That is what you need to decide in keeping that, and that is the only reason why the four engineers who walked the site all agreed this needs to come out. This is a number one worst asphalt on the entire airport. You either have to replace it or take it out.
So why
A or B, I don't think there's any in between.
If it was because the worst, why didn't you vote to replace it?
Because the DOT took it out. We took that and we submitted it as part of our cost. We had to cut costs. So we decided, okay, we bid that out. Okay, and the DOT was against us replacing that portion because of the significant cost, $140,000 for four tie downs. And I'm sorry, we didn't have a defense. I forget exactly how the conversation went, but...
it's not just four tie-downs, it's a business.
Grant, I wish you were there.
Dennis, why didn't you call me?
Okay, well, the thing is that we can still fund it. It's an alternate. Just something else has to go.
Thank you, Dennis. Farrell, and then Shane.
Okay, so Dennis, you just alluded to the fact that you taxi down there and you use that pavement. Is that correct?
I do not use it. I stay off it. I stay clear of it.
Okay, you stay clear of it. So you're not going to taxi down there and risk a problem.
That's
strike.
Not a priority. No.
So,
I'm familiar with it. I'm aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the number one. When I was on this board for the last 3 years, that is the number one complaint area. Every time I turned around, somebody was telling me we need to repair it, do something about it, replace it, and that's why we started this entire asphalt program to begin with. Now, understand, I didn't select a particular area to reduce it from the scope of work. The budget got cut, and we didn't have enough to do what we wanted to. So, if you want to replace that area, just take some of the asphalt away from some of the hangars. You've got the money to do it. I don't think you'll have the DOT complaining. Let me clarify. The DOT's complaint was, we're not going to get that much money. We cut our budget, and that was the one piece of area that we felt, you know, of everything we're doing, would be the first thing we cut.
Shane and then Joe. Shane.
Shane.
Okay.
Yeah, I have three comments. If I can just remember the first one is I'd like to associate myself with. Wes's remarks and comments, I think they were cogent. I don't share the same opinion about the state of the macadam on the ramp in question. If someone doesn't want to use it, they don't have to use it. I know that doesn't apply to somebody who's a visitor coming in, may not be aware of it. But having said that, I think that the issue of municipal immunity is one that I believe is well settled in New Hampshire law, and I don't represent you, but having said that, at some point it might be worth you folks making the inquiry into whether or not you are liable for negligence in the performance of your governmental functions. Having said that,
I do feel that at this juncture, the better course is to follow Wes's comments and recommendation and the motion on the table that Director Woods has made, and take a look at this. Be mindful of this fact. We have a new administration taking office here in a couple of weeks in Washington. The current administration has been anything but helpful in many respects to general aviation from a financial support standpoint. And I think that we have a new administration coming in that uses GA all the time. It did in its campaign, the president-elect did. And I think if we're going to see any changes, I can only expect that they're going to be more favorable than what we've got. That, of course, may not prove to be the case, but I think there's room for optimism and room to expect that we may have a more favorable climate for funding moving forward. And I think that those are good reasons. You can take a look at this again later.
Thank you.
Okay. So, okay, good. Just real quick, to Gail, I appreciate all your effort, guys. I sit in your world most of the time. I know what it's like to do revision after revision after revision. If customers come back, you think you got it figured out. I get all that. So I appreciate all your expertise and work and time. Dennis, likewise, all the effort that yourself and previous board members have put into thoughtful options and really committing to coming up with some good solutions. So I don't want that to go unrecognized. I've got probably the freshest set of eyes on this whole thing, so it's maybe a benefit in a certain way. One of the things that the walkthrough helped crystallize for me, and now, mind you, last time I operated out of this airport, it was in a little configuration. It was before the new runway, but I was predominantly flying off of 3-2 all the time. When you dig out that pavement over there, that's a permanent solution. Yes, you can always go back and pave it and all that other stuff. But you permanently change the geography over there. In my mind, you kind of bottleneck it up. I don't think we want to do that in an area that we all sort of collectively agree that there's no formal run-up area. And just the other day when we were out there, you got the 150 that was coming around parking, you got the twin going out there. You know, space out there is at a premium. The longtime small business notwithstanding as well. There's a lot of good aspects, I think, to keeping that a wide, free, open space. Not to mention maybe lower on the totem pole of it's where the public sees our airport. You know, they drive down Pine Hill Road, and that's where they see everything from the B-29 to the G-5s to just a Cherokee or a 150 or whatever. People park there. So that's really our face of our airport. So I want to make sure that it's an aesthetic issue, but I want to make sure that doesn't go unthought about as well. As far as alternatives, and Dennis said, you know, I agree, there's some bad cracking over there, for sure. And I think, Eric, as you pointed out, some of the oldest pavement on the airports over there. So, in line with what Farrah was saying, I do agree, obviously, I seconded option 4. But I went a little further in my analysis and said, you know, what if we didn't take out some of these smaller areas behind the T-hangers? You know, where can we collect other dollars to maybe shift some funding over there to do that? Or if we can't do it this time around, maybe take a smaller set of dollars to do some crack maintenance or some prolonging, you know, a couple years till the point at which we can get fully funding to do that entire ramp the way it should be, and I think the way ultimately we all would like it to be. If we had a big bag of money out front, we wouldn't be here right now, right? We wouldn't be having this discussion. So, you know, those are my two main things that I wanted to just point out. I don't think we want to make a permanent geography change to that area, and for all those reasons that I said. So I just wanted to...
How long would it take to make changes if we, say, wanted to take out a few little pieces and maybe do some crack sealing or whatever? How long would that process take for you, for DOT, for approval?
I think if we, and it seems like the consensus is to go with option 4, which saves about $93,000 from what's programmed in this project, we could look at some alternatives to do some crack repair down there that would be, we could fit within the original scope of this project dollar-wise. I think that's doable. We have to get some prices from Continental to do such, but I think it's completely doable.
And not to mention, obviously, we all know the current economic climate in the city. I think it's also good if we as the airport community show the city that, hey, we're going to tighten our belt a little bit, and we're going to be thoughtful and approach things and save them a few dollars as well. And there's always tomorrow, as the consultants know.
What was the total award?
$1.6459 million.
And we would take out $93,000 of that?
Maybe reallocate some or most of it?
So you could. We'd have to get concurrent approval from New Hampshire DOT, but yes.
Tanya Plant, for the record, just for anybody who's following the aircraft registration as well, that 5% funding in the future could be going away depending on what happens with the bill that's proposed right now, like it's not a meeting on Friday. So just as you guys are thinking about how to spend funding and stuff like that, that 5% I don't think is guaranteed in the future. So our pot of money at the airport, you know, could be going up if that bill passes the way that it's written right now.
To 10%?
Unless I hear any other discussion on the board, I'd like to call for a roll call vote.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just add my 2 cents from an operational perspective. That pavement, and we do know the condition of that pavement. It's the worst pavement on the entire airport. That's why we targeted that for this project. If we do leave that pavement in place, it's going to continue to be a liability, and it's breaking up to the point where some of the cracks are wide enough that you can put your foot inside of them. 2 years ago, we tried putting crack seal material down in that area. We tried to put a Band-Aid over it, and some of the material held. Most of it came right up because there was no purchase for the material on the edges of the cracks. And aesthetically, Joe, to what you alluded to, in my opinion, I think it looks horrible with all the cracks and the condition that they're in. With the grass growing up through the cracks, I mean, we've been down there pulling all of that grass out, it comes right back. So, just from an operational perspective, I would recommend that you remove that pavement, turf it, put some tie downs in, allow Mr. Brulette to keep his airplanes down there. And I think that would be much easier to maintain and much more aesthetically pleasing myself and less of a liability for the
who
airport.
Who did the crack sealing before? Was it just us in general, or was that the repair? That wasn't Continental, right?
That was
not.
No. So that was just kind of rinky dink stuff. That wasn't high tech.
Sealer to make it look good?
Mm-hmm. Just I think it should no. be done. If we're going to fill the cracks, we should have it done professionally.
The cracks can't be, they can't be filled. Those cracks have to be cut out and they have to be repaved. And but at that point,
I think that's what Eric was talking about, is that we can, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you personally and kind of work through figuring out the best approach.
Just to distinguish, there's a difference between crack sealing and crack repair.
Right.
I mean, when we talk about crack repair, you're effectively taking the one crack that exists, whether it's an inch, 4 inches, 5 inches, you can lose your foot in, whatever. When you get to the point where you get differential settlement, you have overlapping pavements, and they're starting to pull apart, that's the point where you need to go to crack repair. And effectively what you're doing is taking one crack and making it two, but bridging the gap and making it a more structurally sound environment. That's what we would propose down there in those types of
environments. Is that what you talked about with the cloth at that other area there where you're going to put that, I don't know,
mastic,
cloth or
yeah,
whatever.
There's,
is that, would that be
not quite
included in
not
that?
Not quite. Not quite. This is different. That's for once when you mill and overlay, when you mill and overlay a section, when you open it up and you still have cracks that are shown in the overlay section, you put down a mastic and then pave over the top of it so that you can bridge and transfer the loads and not have it reflectively show up through the pavement so it doesn't just keep reflecting upward and cracking on top. This would be, you'd actually mill out, you know, probably 18 to 24 inches depending on the depth of the crack and stuff like that. Go out there, clean up all the, take out all the pavement, beat up the subgrade, compact it, maybe augment it, put in some more stone, take it out, put some more in, depending on how bad it is, and then repave it in that 18 to 24 inches. That's probably the better method in this area.
So, yeah.
So it doesn't solve the problem. And one of the, just as a point of clarification, again, the crack's not going away. You're going from one crack to two cracks now because you have cracks on both sides.
Okay. So you, right, but with the idea that this would be a kind of high on the priority list of
correct.
The next
the
round
next
of
project.
Right.
Yeah.
Bob and then Dennis.
How much of the 93,000 savings is going to be used for what you just described?
have no idea.
Ballpark.
92,995.
My point is, if we're going to be spending 92,000 of the savings and not get what we get for the 92,000 that's here.
I don't think we.
I think you'd have to identify some the crucial ones and
we'd have to identify some crucial ones and run some numbers.
Yeah.
And I don't have that. You know, I've not been tasked with that yet. It sounds like that's the direction you guys are going to want to go in. We need to get prices from Continental because it is a change in their scope of work. So we can estimate it based on our history and experience with bidding of similar projects, but we're going to have to go to Continental about them, both the cost.
So the only thing that bothers me about the whole thing is if it is in such bad shape, which it clearly is from looking at it, you know, why was it not said, okay, this is in really bad shape, let's repave this. It is the face of the airport. It is where, you know, people see, and people are flying out of there nonstop, going down and turning around, and people see
the airport's priorities are different than the FAA's priorities, though.
Correct.
So when the FAA, if they're the ones who are going to be funding it, their priority list of what they fund is taxiways and things that aircraft use more often. So, you know, the face of the airport, that's important to us in getting more people to come fly.
Right.
Funding-wise, you know.
That's used every day, though.
But you guys run the airport, not the FAA.
Right.
Dennis.
Not all of that, but.
I've spent the last 30 years, part of my career, in maintaining facilities, and I probably have done 400 asphalt replacements, significant repairs, that kind of stuff. So I'm basing what I'm going to tell you right now on experience. We tried several things that when this job was over budgeted at 1.6, it was even more than that. To bring the cost down. And instead of some complete asphalt replacements, we decided to go ahead and mill, okay, and at mill, which is grind down half the asphalt. Typically, the asphalt's out there 4 inches. We'll grind down 2 inches and put a new asphalt layer in on top of it. What you do when you have cracks in the asphalt and you evaluate those cracks and you determine those cracks have not resulted from or caused subgrade failure, okay, which is the gravel supporting it. Because the asphalt is actually just a wearing course. The strength is underneath the asphalt in the gravels, okay? That is your structural surface, okay? The asphalt provides a little bit of stiffness. It bears it out on top of the gravels. So we evaluated some of the asphalt, went back there and rethought it. And we decided, okay, instead of a full depth replacement, the gravels are good here, we're going to grind this down, we're going to mill it. And then, where there's cracks of no more than 2 inches, but really that's even spreading it, more like an inch and a half, an inch crack, we're going to put fabric down and we're going to overlay it. That way, the fabric allows the crack to do whatever it wants to, propagate, but the top course on top of it, the 2 inches on top of it, is going to be nice. You don't even know there's a crack under it. Let's cross our fingers, okay? So this location, at the very end of 3-2, believe me, it was our number one goal to replace all that asphalt. Absolutely. It was part of the entire program. It was hands down, complete replacement right there. But you know what? It doesn't pay to spend a penny on anything, one, other than complete replacement with subgrade. Because the subgrade in that area hasn't totally failed, but believe me, it has failed everywhere there's a crack. Okay? And yes, you cannot patch a crack that's 2 or 3 inches. It just won't work. It's going to be something you have to do every year. As soon as it freezes and thaws, you get it frozen, it's going to bust out of there in a heartbeat. And that's the problem. Now you've got loose asphalt all over the airport down there. And who knows what a proper jet blast is going to do with it. Suck it in or blow it away, it doesn't matter. It's going to be around
there. Suck it in? Come on.
Okay, whatever. I don't know, okay? But so what do you do there? You have to dig it out, and you will have to replace some subgrade underneath it. So what you're going to do, to answer your question, Bob, I think you're probably going to spend in $30,000 in crack maintenance that may last you 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Wes, and then I'd like to call the motion.
Thank you. We all agree that the pavement is terrible. We all agree that it needs to be replaced in 2 or 3 years. I think we've heard the board say that that's what they want to do. Despite what some of the other speakers have said, this is not the end of Western civilization, as we know, and I encourage the board to close off debate and vote. Thank you.
On that note.
Okay. Well, there's a motion on the floor to accept proposal number four as an option for the scope of the project. I'd like to have a roll call vote.
Chairman Rosenblum?
I get to vote last.
If I may, just a point of clarification. Yeah. The discussion was that we would also look at crack repair down on that piece of paper, correct? In addition to option four. Yeah.
So amend to include the investigation of crack repair as described by.
Second that motion.
Okay.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifel?
Yes.
Director Woods?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
And Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you all for the debate.
If I may get back to the report quickly, we've drafted the notice of award for Continental as well as the construction contracts that with the board's approval. We'd like to go ahead and issue to them, and then we can start getting ready for construction. Obviously, this time we have snow, frozen ground is coming. We're not going to do any construction until the early spring. If it's a mild winter, we can hopefully start in April. Most likely, we're talking May 1 or later start date for this. We will need to have a pre-construction meeting in the near future with Continental and the airport, and anyone from the board would like to attend. We'll make sure to coordinate that with you in advance so you guys can attend as need be. That's about it. There's a couple of needs we voted on. The options, thank you for that. It's good to have that behind us now. And then upon, I do need to seek concurrence from the board to issue a notice of award for the project Continental, as well as to enter into contracts, to send out the contracts for construction for Continental, so you guys can enter into it with them.
So I'm not moving.
You need a motion for that?
I need a motion from you guys.
So will you help us with the wording?
I've asked that the board authorize Gale to issue a notice of award and construction contracts in Continental for the bid amount, which I don't have in front of me, which is I think 1.3 and change million for the construction of this project.
I just made that motion.
You're a ventriloquist. Yeah. Is there a second to Sandy's motion?
I second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Gail gets to cut a PO.
Just did the math. It's 1.307.
We already have one, actually.
Yeah.
We've been invoicing before, so it's good to finally have that behind us. Runway groom and seal, project number three. We submitted a whole bunch of information to one of which was the pros and cons. We kind of talked about it ad nauseum. We're kind of to the point where we put together, based on the scope meeting and the CIP that was happening back in August and September, we put together a draft scope, sent it to the board for review. New Hampshire DOT is taking a look at it. They're happy with it. We're seeking concurrence. Actually, we're looking to authorize the work order so you guys can get an IFE and we can start negotiating a contract to get the design of this underway. As part of your packet, I included this was the scope of work outlined, the proposed schedule. We're already behind schedule, as you can see here. We were anticipating starting design on the 1st.
Okay, Eric,
can you see it? It's in the back.
Page 39.
39. Oh.
Yep. All right, if you look at the schedule, you can kind of see start to finish for the project, scope meeting in August. Draft scope was provided on the 11th. We kind of finalized the scope with New Hampshire DOT and Steve on the 18th, and we've put together a draft fee, but we're kind of waiting for the board to make a decision on whether or not this project is officially a go. It was authorized by the previous board. It's kind of why we're here now, so we've kind of seen that you guys are maybe second-guessing it and thinking about it, and we're kind of looking for some directive from you guys as how you're going to proceed with this project at this time. We have a proposed fee. that we'd like to send to you guys. We had anticipated starting design on the 1st based on finalizing a contract. Obviously, we haven't started because we don't have a contract with you guys for that. We anticipated submitting the 30% design plans on the 30th of this month, right before the new year. There's no way that's going to happen now, given the fact that it's the 13th and we haven't started the design yet. So, with that being said, we are seeking direction from the board on this project.
So, can we have some discussion or do we need to make a motion?
I'll open the floor to the board.
So, I did a lot of soul searching on this one because it's tough. I have, everybody on the airport seems to have differing opinions. There's pros, there's cons. I did a lot of research online. I called a lot of pilots that I know personally that I love and trust, and even between two pilots, you get totally different views. I will tell you that they all said runway grooving does not make them decide whether or not they're going to come to an airport. A lot of them said that's not even the top 10. Safety factors, I said it's definitely nice to have. It makes them feel warm and fuzzy. I talked to Flory Nelson. I don't know how many of you know him, but, you know, he did explain to me about all of the, the numbers they have to use. So I talked to a lot of really thoughtful guys about it, and I still struggle with my decision. Let me see. The few questions I have is maintenance afterwards. Ian, I don't know how much you touched on this at the last meeting, but the CFME, what is that? Is that something that it's going to cost us a fortune in the future?
No.
Maintenance, upkeep?
No, as part of the pavement rejuvenator that's going to go down as part of the project, it'll help preserve the pavement and keep the nutrients in the pavement. A lot of times what happens with the grooving is you start to expose the aggregate, you get oxidation and exposure of the asphalt, which means it started to deteriorate the pavements. When you put down the rejuvenator, you're effectively sealing it and keeping the nutrients in the pavements, so it's deteriorating at a slower rate. You're actually extending the life of the pavements.
But we will have to do maintenance, right? I mean, and we're going to have people on the airport, and there's a time frame where they're going to have to check it out and do certain things, and they have to do recurrency and stuff like that.
No different than, I would view it as kind of a daily operation for runway sweep, so I have to make sure that the grooves aren't failing, just like you make sure that the pavement's not failing. You'll have to make sure that the grooves aren't filled in, and there may be some maintenance, but it's pretty minor in comparison to making sure your facility is operating properly. I mean, it's one of those things, I almost view it as you have a SWIP, Stormwater Prevention Pollution Plan, where the airport has to go out and monitor outfalls from the airport to make sure you're not illicitly discharging to storm waters of the United States, navigable waters of the U.S., if you will. That's no different. In order to open and maintain a safe environment, you have to do runway sweeps, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, we do it every day.
Every morning, every night, and it's very similar to that.
And as far as like rubber and stuff, we don't have enough jet landings at this airport at the moment for rubber to be an issue for turning. So, and my other thing with that is if we don't have enough jet ops, then why are we even bothering with it? It's tough. This is a tough one for me.
Wes?
I have a question about maintenance. I assume that Steve's not going to be out with a toothbrush cleaning the grooves. but it's not something that you could just like run a snow plow over. Are they going to have to borrow a city street sweeper or something? Or how does that work?
They have their own sweeper that is a snow removal equipment. And most airports will tell you that the actual flushing comes from rainfall. It cleans itself out for the most part. Once you get asphalt or phosphorus from the tires built up into it, you do have to clean it out. Again, guys don't have the operations to really warrant it. I was talking with Nick earlier in the office, and he said FAA, and he was trying to find a copy of the report. FAA finds that groove runways don't increase rubber burnoff or increase rubber runout on pavements. It was a myth for a long time.
Well, it doesn't increase it, but it does happen, and it could get in the seals, right, in the grooves.
But again,
the other thing is when the runway was built, Nick, right? We spent a lot of money on that runway. And I'm sure it was built very well, so the drainage goes off, right? So it shouldn't really be a huge, huge issue.
What's not the huge issue, sorry?
It shouldn't, you know, needing the grooving for hydro, what do you call it, hydroplaning or...
Well, the issue, I think, I'm sorry for jumping in. We don't have a problem with standing water on the runway because when you reconstructed the runway, you crowned it, you know, it sheds the water.
I think if you remember the pilot who was in there last week, there's a difference between the perception of standing water, which is what the grooves is about, versus there actually being standing water. And it does, you know, whether or not it is drained properly, I would hope that it was. We designed a pretty good product, I think. And I don't think you guys have standing water on there. There's a good 1% crown across it, but it doesn't mean that there can't be standing water. You could have ice buildup on the sides during freezing conditions, and this will promote the water to getting outside of it and being down in and not standing on the pavements.
Yes, sir.
How much, excuse me, if they did not groove the pavement, how much money would the airport save, money-wise?
$35,000?
5% of the cost of the project.
So that's $35,000 that could go to stuff that could actually market the airport or actually attract business to the airport.
No, it's not. It's $140,000 for the grooving, so 5% of that would be...
$7,000.
$7,000.
How much?
$7,000.
$7,000.
Yes, sir. What is the downtime to do the grooving initially and repainting and all that, and then for subsequent maintenance? So is there a... annual, something that has to be done with the roofs that the runway will be closed?
It's going to depend on the operations of the airfield. The operations currently at the airfield don't warrant that annual maintenance is required. There's downtime with anything. If there, you know, you have to remark the runway, there's downtime with that. You take with targets of opportunity where you're remarking the runway to do the sweeping that's required, but it's not going to be on an annual basis.
Probably. What about the initial install?
The initial install? Again, we've started to look at it, but we really haven't gone down the path of figuring it out. We've kind of looked at total project is about 15 calendar days. The grooving is going to be, we would propose at nighttime, which would be 4 to 5 days of grooving, all nighttime operations, and you're talking 3 days of downtime to pavement rejuvenator sealant and then remark the runway.
So 3 total days of downtime or just at night?
3 total days of
three.
Downtime.
3 days of
right.
Downtime.
3 nights of downtime.
No, 3 total days because the marking, in order to reopen your runway, you have to have markings down. We did confirm this with FAA and DOT that you, in order to reopen your facility, you need to have markings down. And the pavement rejuvenator is going to take a day, day and a half, and it needs to set for about 24 hours before you can put the markings down on it, which is about a day.
And I imagine the weather has to be good for this.
This is correct. So we would look to target an opportunity of 3 days with good weather.
Do you know about... When would be ideal time for them to do the project? What month are you shooting for?
Well, the nice part about the grooving versus the rejuvenator, the paving, the grooving is best to happen in colder climates. So when I say that, more like October time frame. Obviously, that's not a good time to do pavement rejuvenator markings because they have a cure time. So probably if all things would go according to plan, we'd probably do grooving in like October time frame of 17, and then come back in the spring or early summer, and we'd work with the airport to figure out what the best time of year is operationally for you guys in terms of when the rejuvenator and the markings would be done.
So the grooving wouldn't be any actual downtime except
just
at
nighttime
night,
only.
Just the other process?
Yep.
Just a quick question. Yeah, just a quick question. What was the paving component used in the current runway?
What was the paving component?
Yeah.
It's called P401.
Okay.
Don't forget to state your name for the record. Okay,
I'm sorry, Dave Pasco, New Hampshire Flying Association.
Dennis Stevens. I want to remind everybody how this project started. It was put together and developed pretty much as a resurfacing project to take care of our brand new runway and make sure it lasted us the next 30 years. But this is the next area step after 4 or 5 years of new asphalt. You want to after it's cured, it's nice and hard, you want to treat it. The grooving got tacked onto here, and we're all surprised. What grooving? Nobody in this entire airport organization has asked for the grooving. Gail is recommending it as the next feature. There's room for it in this application. So the big question here is who wants the grooving? Is there a need for it? Because most of our planes or light aircraft, they can land on ice and just coast to a stop. I would assume the grooving's there for a purpose to keep from hydroplaning when you're trying to brake. And literally, I don't brake. I just roll until I take off on the side ramp. Thank you.
Just as a point of clarification, that's the point. We recommended it to the board. The board did authorize it through the CIP process. It was actually recommended during the runway design and construction project by New Hampshire DOT, as well as several pilots here in this community who operate jets, that it should be done at the time. But the decision was made by the board at that time that grooving didn't need to be included with the project because of the additional downtime on the runway. They felt that the 19 to 20 days that was being incurred for a downtime didn't warrant or justify additional closures to groove the pavement at the time. This is something that's kind of been in the works for the better part of 7 years.
You have a new mayor who's talking about laying off teachers, firemen, and policemen, and you are going to go before that mayor to request funds. This is a perfect project where you can say, we're going to give up this and not ask you for the money, and you can look politically like really good guys, and you can still have the coating that extends the life, that will help pave the way for them to approve the rest of what you asked for, so to speak.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
So, what happens to this money? If for some reason we decide not to do the grooving, what happens to the money that is here now? Just goes away? We don't get to use it in another way.
The project, as FAA and New Hampshire DOT understand it, is to groove, apply pavement rejuvenator, and mark the runway after that. If you take scope out, you could ask that they look at other avenues to do it. High probability they're going to say no, because they've already you've already kind of told the FAA that you're doing this project, so that's what they're anticipating you doing. So if you change the scope, they may say altogether no. High probability will say no, because it's outside the original scope of what they have appropriated for this fiscal year.
Well, there's a reason for that, because you want to groove it before you seal coat it. I mean, if you groove it later, you're just going to take all your sealer away,
and you're going to have to redo it.
Right.
Eric, quick question. Is there a specific benefit to applying the sealer if you don't groove the runway?
Yeah, actually, in talking with a lot of the manufacturers, the pavement rejuvenator should be applied somewhere between a year to 5 years after the initial install of the pavement. So we're at that point now. Mm-hmm. That pavement was installed in 2012, 2013 timeframe. And what it does is it prolongs. It seals the pavement, reintroduces nutrients into the pavement and preserves it so that it's not being oxidized and depleted by the sun and other elements by the environment. So effectively, you're prolonging the life cycle of your pavements. There's life cycle curves that keep showing that it extends it out, and if you do it every 7 years about, you can extend it out significantly and really preserve your investment significantly in the future for small dollars.
What's the downtime for the airport for the seal only?
3 to 4 days. Yeah. So it's still going to be that downtime, but there won't be any nighttime downtime for the grooving.
And the noise.
Yeah.
One quick question. So obviously you have to reseal it some frequency. What is that frequency generally?
About 7 years.
So in seven years you could go, okay, it's time to reseal. Maybe we groove it then. Maybe we think about grooving it then. Right. You can do that, right?
You could.
I may have missed something with Sandy's question.
Okay.
State your name for the record, please.
Bob Burke with Amsterdam Aviation. Does the rejuvenator work better groove or ungroove, or does it make a difference?
There's no studies that show that it's better with or without the grooves. There's just different methodology for application when the pavement's grooved versus ungrooved. Instead of going down the pavement, they have to go transversely so that it has a better application inside the grooves.
Does it cost more then to do it when it's grooved? More surface area, different techniques?
No, effectively it's the same coating, it's the same surface area. They may cost slightly more just because it may take a little bit longer, but effectively it's the amount of material that they're putting down in the application rate that it costs them.
Okay. Shane and Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Shane, welcome to the record. Eric, what is the effect of the grooving on tire wear?
FAA has a study out, and I was trying to get my hands on it today, but I couldn't find it off the top of my head. FAA has a study out that says there's no additional wear on tires as a result of grooving.
So, and to follow up on that, then,
is there any effect or impact of grooving on the runway longevity?
There can be. There can be additional maintenance that's caused by it, but most of the studies, all the studies that have been done weren't on pavements that have pavement rejuvenator on it. The whole purpose of the pavement rejuvenator is to, again, seal the pavements, keep the nutrients in, and keep it from oxidizing and degrading. Effectively, what happens when you groove the pavement, you are marring your pavement, so you're exposing aggregates and the asphalt, so you are potentially exposing it to the environment and slowly deteriorating it. By putting the pavement rejuvenator on, all the manufacturers say that it preserves the pavement as if it was untouched.
Do you have to reapply the rejuvenator periodically?
Yeah, we just talked about every 5 to 7 years, yeah. So that's recommended by the manufacturers.
I'm sorry.
Steve. This item has been included in our CIP for the last 3 years, I think. So
actually, I think it's only 5 years. Put on right after the runway project.
So DOT and FAA have programmed this into their funding schedules. It is a safety enhancement for the airport. It is something that has been requested by our corporate operators, and we're going to start embarking on a strategic plan here shortly. And these are some of the things that we're going to be looking at. But you know, if you're looking to attract and retain corporate aircraft, that these are the kinds of low-hanging fruit and easy to do enhancements that we can do today that can help us to attract and retain corporate aircraft.
Thank you.
Group payment might not do anything to tires, but it does beat the hell out of tail wheels. It just shreds them.
What did you say, Rob?
I said it does shred tail wheels for tail wheel airplanes. I can tell you that for a fact.
I've heard it's tough on tail wheels. I heard it's helicopters have a harder time, but I don't see them in the middle of the runway much. But.
All right.
Just as a point of clarification, a comment was made about saving money and stuff like that. Just important to note in talking with the city is that, you know, you are leveraging 95% funds from other entities, you know, so to say that, you know, you're saving the city money, yes, that is a true statement, but you're also leveraging a significant amount of funds coming from other sources. I don't think there's any other entity in the city that can say that, quite frankly. It's something that often gets misstated or misinterpreted that, you know, yeah, you're taking $1.64 million, but the share that the city is putting into it is only 5% versus 95% that's coming from the federal and state government. Again, yes, those are taxpayers' dollars, but, you know, again, schools, other agencies can't say that they're taking 95% funds from other entities. Just
where does that money go, Eric? If we don't use it, where is that money
going
to go?
It goes back to FAA for their discretion on how they spend it.
The city recognizes the power of that 5% match. So this is an item that we've had on the agenda for a number of years, and we've spoken about it at several meetings. I'd like to bring this to a conclusion with a vote. If there's someone who wants to make a motion, we'd be happy to entertain it at this time.
I'd like to make a motion. Go ahead.
I did mine.
I'd like to make a motion that we would proceed with the seal coat and remarking and hold off on the grooving. I think that's the maximum benefit in terms of obviously we want to preserve the runway for sure. So the sealing does that and it helps to take care of that. The grooving can be done at a future date, and we've talked about that a lot this evening. I just don't hear a lot of compelling. I mean, there's great strategic ideas and all that stuff, but right now I'm just not hearing it. Kind of compelling evidence to do it now.
Is there a second?
No, I was going to make a comment if I might.
Well, let's go okay. Second first.
I will second Joe's motion.
Okay. Discussion.
Well, you know, we keep talking about the future, and the future is here. Like Sandy, I've been reading everything I can on it, and I think that the grooving speaks to the health and the future of the airport. And if we're going to market this airport for the future, the grooving should be part of our process.
So can I comment on that?
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Okay, so I'll comment on that by pointing out that it's something I've heard from talking to operators on the airport. The two things that I hear very consistently when I speak to people are some kind of anti-ice capability, and there are various kinds that can be had, but some kind of anti-ice capability would be very compelling. And some sort of on-demand customs, you know, service. That, that those two things would add a lot of value to this airport and potentially attract operators.
And both of those items are over $1 million each to have as a project on the...
How much have they been investigated?
Well, they have been to some degree. We have a doc. We have a letter from Customs. I think we do not. Yeah.
That is further down the line, the de-icing. But why?
Yes, but specifically,
why hasn't that been moved up?
But specifically, Sandy, we have researched the customs, and the question was, would we share with Manchester? And the answer was flat out, no. They will not share.
Right.
So we're talking a minimum of about $400,000 a year to have a facility at this airport for customs, including a designated building that we turn over to customs for their use.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree that that would be something for the future, but that's an astronomical cost.
I will tell you, every single pilot I spoke to Chris Robinson, I spoke to all these guys, every single one, when I gave them the choice, would you rather have the grooving or the de-icing, they all chose de-icing. Every one of them.
Why does it have to be a choice?
It doesn't have to be a choice. It would be nice if it was moved up sooner.
So, I've said this before. Keene has de-icing. They can't de-ice at Gulfstream 5, but in relation to the traffic that we have, a perhaps less ambitious de-icing facility that could do the Citation jets, that could do the beach jets, whatever, would be to the advantage of the businesses here. In my discussions with Greg Lisson, his comment was interesting. He said they hardly ever want to use it because it's expensive, but they want to be have on their list of just in case. They want to be able to say we could get the icing if we needed it. So even a small de-icing rate and some less expensive modification of the ramp out in front of Infinity, which doesn't have, I was out there, and it doesn't have issues of going into the stormwater drain system. You would probably want to do something around the edges to catch stuff. But even a small de-icing facility, so that it was in the airport guide, and if Greg could say, if you need it, I've got it. But his comment was that they're never going to actually write that check, because if they can launch without it, it's to their financial advantage.
Okay, I think we're getting a little off the topic, because that's not the nature of the motion. I think de-icing is a great topic for the strategic plan and the master plan, and I encourage us to incorporate that in our discussions and bring it up at a later time. The motion on the floor now is to approve the runway sealing project without the grooving.
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
No.
Secretary Scheif?
No.
Director Woods?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
And Chairman Rosenblum?
No.
So
I want to make another motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the runway grooving as presented.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
That's also including the runway sealing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As proposed in the scope.
As proposed in the scope.
As originally scoped. In the schedule.
Roll call, please.
Was there a second?
Yes,
Bob
second.
Bob second.
Thank you. Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifel?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
No.
Director Woods?
No.
And Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes.
That was a tough one.
How about parking lots? Any more pavement we can talk about?
Very good discussion. Thank you all for the input.
Okay, So we'll proceed with that project. The airport will need an IFE because the estimated engineering cost is over $100,000 start to finish. So you guys will need to get an IFE. I think typically you guys would use Montgomery Consulting to do your IFEs. Coordinate with Steve to make sure he has everything that he needs to go ahead and do the IFE as part of the project, and then we'll get into a contract and start the design of this and have something to you shortly after the new year. Sound reasonable? Good. A couple other housekeeping things. First off, your 2016, fiscal year 2016 DD reporting was submitted and approved by the FAA. No glitches there. The 2015 and 17 DD plan had to be amended. Through 2017 had to be amended to reflect the grooving project because it was not originally programmed in fiscal year 17, it was in 18. We had to move it into this year's project because it got moved up at the CIP meeting. It's currently under review by the FAA, and hopefully it will be approved shortly. Your 2017 and 19 DD plan, we started, is due to the FAA by August 1st of 17. We will, after the new year, we will start going more into that and then submit a draft to the airport for review and eventual submission to the FAA for approval. Any questions on DD? It's a lot of work for federal government procurement and requirements, federal provisions. Other than that, as I said, we started to attach a copy of the CIP just so people can see what's included in the long-term forecast for the airport. Obviously, it will change from year to year. And with the master plan, I would imagine it would probably change in the year to come. And then happy holidays. Gail has a small token of our appreciation for your continued services here. Please feel free to take one. Nothing major, just a small bottle of maple syrup for you and your loved ones to enjoy during the holidays. Thank you for your business, and we appreciate it.
No booze?
No booze.
No booze.
It's just a constitute payola.
I was going to say, I think there needs to be an ethics discussion here. Big maples involved, aren't there?
Yeah.
thank you very much,
Jerry. Right. So thank you.
Oaks, sir.
Thanks again for all
sorry to torture you for so long, but we're, you know,
we're glad to have decisions made behind us now. Thank you.
Well, I thought at this rate, each one of those would contain a little piece of pavement.
that can easily be arranged.
Starter kit.
All right, let's move on to committees. Do you want to talk about the committee?
Yeah, we talked strategic planning. At our first meeting, as I alluded to earlier, it was a defrosting session. We all came in and got to feel our limbs again. It was a good discussion. We just started just kind of brainstorming. Who are we? Where are we going? What do we want to do? Kind of just get those juices flowing and try to start to tack down to some big picture items. So one of my takeaways was to kind of start doing some data collection. I've already reached out to Steve to try to help a little bit myself, but over the committee as well, paint a picture of, what have the trends been, not in the last couple of years, but the last several years, and how do those compare not only to where we want to go, but how do they compare to maybe other airports out there that we want to emulate, that we want to, do what they're doing or at least get on the track that they're on, and what are the differences and what are the similarities and those kinds of things. So, like I said, it was a good discussion. We already committed to meeting monthly to try to continue that and to move that forward. I'm sure now with Gail's involvement here, we'll get into more of the nitty-gritty as each session goes by. So looking forward to doing that and being able to report some good progress and some ideas to folks here in the near future.
Who's going to be on the committee? Do you know? Who's with you? I know you said you met with
Alderman Shoneman, Mike, and myself right now.
Okay.
Old business. We had the special meeting of the paving project. We want to thank everyone who came out and braved the weather for that. I think it was very beneficial to get a hands-on view of what actually will be done, and we will move forward on that project. Also, we talked about the runway grooving that's completed as per the vote we had. Perimeter place investments, that project is, I spoke to Alderman Shoneman, who said that our request to extend the airport's lease with the city needs to be done via the legislature, and he's in the process of getting that accomplished. So I did also send a letter to the mayor requesting a 20-year extension for that lease, and waiting to hear back from the alderman and the mayor.
For those of us who are less familiar with that process, what is the legislature's role?
I think the Board of Aldermen need to approve the extension.
Oh, that's, so it's the city, not the
city? It's the city legislature.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. To that point, is there any reason why you can't request a longer period than, say, a 20-year extension? Maybe something that the community...
Something to think about. We hadn't really contemplated extending it longer than... There's quite a number of years down the road, you know, but we will look into that. New business. We have the 2017 holiday schedule. That was in the packet that would need to be approved by the board.
Is this same as last year?
Has this changed yet? Yeah.
It's pretty much the same as last year, yeah.
Dates have changed.
Yeah. It's a year later.
Why does the board need to approve this on an annual basis?
That's a good question, Mr. Chair. I don't know. They always have. It does say in our employee handbook, it does say that the airport authority, I forget the exact language, but it does say that the board approves the 11 holidays each year. So,
can we approve the holiday schedule as presented for perpetuity?
I think you can. Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah, I like that.
Motion.
Make a motion to approve the holiday schedule as presented in perpetuity.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Well, we could have had a discussion about it.
All right. The National Airport Authority bylaws amendment.
I alluded to this last month, and I basically explained that we are maintaining motion numbers in our minutes, and it's very, very bureaucratic and labor-intensive when we are having a non-public session and public sessions. I did a little research on it, and I checked with the city attorney, and he has informed me that there are no laws. The RSA on right to know does not require any motion numbers, nor does Robert's rules require motion numbers. However, the Nashua Airport Authority bylaws, which were approved on April 18th of 2006, do require them. And let me just read what it says. It says, all motions shall be in writing and shall be copied in a motion book of the authority. Motions will be numbered chronologically after the minutes are accepted. The city attorney said that he doesn't recommend or disapprove of motion numbers. As I say, it's an administrative, bureaucratic thing between the manager of the airport and the secretary trying to keep the numbers straight. They can do this in public, private, etc. In my opinion, there's absolutely no reason to have them, and I'm prepared to make a motion that we do away with them. Yes, sir.
The governor just signed some changes to the New Hampshire Right to Know law that will require that you document the motions and that you record who voted for the motion by identifying each member of the board on those votes. I just published today. I think she signed it either yesterday or the day before. I don't know if that impacts what you're talking about.
No, it would not. To my knowledge, Steve, correct me, we are keeping the votes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We do. Yeah. Each.
We're already doing it.
Okay.
In fact, we're a little bit ahead of them already with respect to the recorded maintenance, et cetera. All we're doing is eliminating the numbers. If we don't do it, then what I feel I have to do is create two sets of numbers, one public and one non-public.
Which there always has been, which is what I struggled with for a long time.
But they're not separate. They run chronologically, and that's where the problem comes in. So I'm making a motion that we change the Airport Authority bylaws by eliminating the sentence, all motions shall be in writing and shall be copied in a motion book of the authority. Motions will be numbered chronologically after the minutes are accepted. Making no other changes. Everything else remains exactly the same. Well, motions are always in writing. We keep the track of who.
So just the second sentence. The numbers of the motions will be numbered chronologically after the minutes are accepted.
Right.
Just knock that out.
Right.
We can leave all motions shall be in writing because they should be, but get rid of everything right. else, right? Yeah. So it has to be in writing.
Is there
but
a second?
As far as being numbered.
Yeah. We're eliminating the requirement to number them.
Right. So I just keep the first sentence, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I second that.
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Public input.
What's that?
Okay, moving on.
That was the last numbered motion.
Dates to remember. We have the presentation to the City of Nashua's Capital Improvements Committee on January 9th at 6 p.m. Steve and I will be attending. I don't know who else.
Who's actually doing the presentation?
Yeah, are we all
you're all invited to
public?
Come.
Okay.
Because that's a presentation to the city, and that's not a doesn't constitute as a board meeting.
Okay.
I guess, Steve, were you?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Sit in the gallery and make money.
Make faces.
We were also invited to the staff holiday party. What is that?
Tuesday.
Lunch.
Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah, we are. Any items would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, director's comments.
Another administrative Mickey Mouse thing here. For everyone's information, when a director is appointed by the mayor, they're appointed for a specific period. If that person leaves before the end of the term, the replacement appointee assumes the responsibility of that existing term. And all of this information is posted on the city's website. First of all, we have two directors whose terms expire August of 2017. Sandra and Farrell. And that's not supposed to happen either. There's not supposed to be more than one expiring each year. So we have a little homework to do with the city, and I'll do that, or we'll do that. But I just wanted to get it out there for everybody's edification that two director positions become vacant in August of 2017, which means if they're not going to repeat, you need to start knocking on the door of the mayor's office probably around May so we don't go through this empty chair syndrome here.
Well, I will tell you, I will not be repeating.
Well,
so
that's what you say tonight.
And we thought you were the one who was in 2018.
Oh, no. No, I'm definitely 2017, one I know. And, if I don't want to get divorced, and some days I do, but I will, I will be done soon.
Joseph, you got to put up with him to 2021.
I'm a five-year candidate.
2021.
Yeah. I'm rock solid. Yeah, the paperwork I got from the city says that my term ends in August of 2017.
Right.
So I think they made a mistake with yours.
No, I don't think they made a mistake. You're just filling it.
You're filling a position,
a
vacant position.
But there couldn't have been two vacant positions both expiring at the same time.
Well, right. There could have been. It's just that it's been perpetuated. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For right to know, I just want you all to know we're going to be doing this. I'll be doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe?
Good meeting, everybody. I appreciate the interest in the debate and the back and forth. So it's great stuff. So look forward to more of it. Just not a pavement.
Mike, do we have the formal?
Yeah, I'll talk about it.
Okay, very quickly. Again, thank you all who participated in these various meetings regarding pavement. Some of it got into a lot of detail, but I appreciate everybody's persistence. With these various discussions, I think we've made some, forward progress tonight. So, thank you for that.
I do want to thank Dennis, believe it or not, for he works hard and he's a smart guy and he put a lot of time and effort into all of this stuff, and also Gail. I know you're getting paid, but I know this has been pretty tedious for you. I like the fact that we are all communicating here a little better and learning more and making decisions together. I don't like to make decisions on things I don't really know about. That being said, it was a tough, some of this stuff is tough. This is hard work. And I appreciate, I know I'm always picking everyone's brains, so thanks for helping me learn about that stuff. Hellenic, is that how you say it? I did talk to Ronnie Emond about that whole process, which is exciting, and hopefully it'll be something good for the airport. Ron Emond has offered to reach out to them and help them in the process because it can be very time-consuming to get all the things you need to get to move forward. So he's going to ask them if they want to kind of piggyback on their, on Ronnie's work at the moment to help them get going. So I think that's great. The Flying Gourmet Challenge is really, really great. We have over 235 people signed up, which I think is amazing. It's nice to see people flying. I've given out a lot of applications, and it's nice to see people coming from other airports to get a sticker on their Gourmet Challenge. At the end of this, this I had thrown out there a while ago and nobody really grabbed onto it, but at the end of it, I talked to John Henry. We're going to collect all of the cards and we're going to do a drawing here in Nashua. And Keith has donated a year's worth of charts, VFR and IFR, so that's great. It's $160-something value. CR Helicopters will be donating something. Air Direct is donating a scenic,
Discovery Flight.
Discovery Flight. I'm donating a $200 gift certificate. Pilot Workshops is donating, their prize is about a $500 value.
Wow.
So we are gathering prizes from area businesses here. So anybody that wants to donate, that will be, the full prize package will be announced in February. And so I think that would be a great prize for whoever might win it and more incentive for people to do that. Merry Christmas to everybody, or happy Hanukkah.
Yes,
have a good holiday. I guess that's it for me.
That's right.
Here's
the poll.
I want to thank everyone for coming. We did have in your packet the official final version of the audited financial statement from Vashon and Kuklay and Company, and we have that for your reading pleasure. Thank you all for your input in the meetings that we had and the discussions. Our next meeting, we're going back to the third Wednesday of the month. So the next meeting will be on January 18th. And with that, happy holidays, everybody. And you have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn to non-public session for personnel.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, it's got to be a roll call, though.
No, yes, Steve's right. No number, though.
Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifel?
Yes.
Director Woods?
Yes.
Director McKell?
Yes.
Yeah, you might just